Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's walk aboard right now. Rex Hawk, Golf Channel, joins us now. Hey, Rex, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Rex, what's up?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
All right. Doing well, Rex. Exciting?
Say again?
Anything exciting happened on Sunday?
A little golf.
Well, you know, what do you? I mean, just an unbelievable story, Rex, with Tiger coming back and winning another major at the age of 43. From everything that he came back from, it's obviously been a huge talking point for Taz and myself this morning. What was your take on everything we witnessed yesterday from Augusta?
I mean, I really think it's historic. You know, we always seem to blow these things out of proportion, and I know that's what kind of us, you know, those of us in the media do. But if you consider the context of this, I mean, it was just 3 years ago when Tiger, you know, whispered across the table at the Champions Dinner to one of the former champions, "I'm done playing golf." That, you know, he was in so much pain, he couldn't imagine a day when he even swung a golf club, let alone won another green jacket. Now, fast forward over a very, very short period of time, and I think last year was encouraging, you know, for him to win the Tour Championship. It gave a lot of people some hope. But I think there was still always the doubt out there, could he actually do it in a major championship with a back that's been operated on four times against fields that are much, much deeper. For him to do it, it really was historic.
Hey, Rex, you know, where does yesterday's Masters rank all time for you events that you've covered?
I'm trying to put that in context this morning, to be honest with you. I mean, I always thought 2008 at Torrey Pines when Tiger won essentially on one leg and a playoff on Monday, I kind of thought that was always going to be the pinnacle, although 2000 when he lapsed the field at Pebble at the U.S. Open was good, and then 97 at the Masters holds a lot of historical significance. But, when we get to the end of the road and we kind of pin all these chapters and we decide, I think this one's going to rank right up there. If it wasn't his most meaningful, it certainly has to be in the top two or three.
You know, Rex, is this an outlier or is this the part of a rejuvenation story where we're going to get not the Tiger of old, but certainly, Tiger's, yesterday was not his last major victory. I mean, is this a rebirth or is this an outlier?
I kind of spent a lot of time talking to guys about that, and I was amazed how many of his contemporaries were talking about Justin Thomas and Ricky Fowler and Zach Johnson. They think 18's back in play, and we're talking about Jack Nicklaus's record of 18 major championships. That's always been the benchmark that Tiger's gone for, and I think it does. You're absolutely right. I don't think we're ever going to see that dominance from Tiger that we saw throughout the early to mid-2000s, but I did the math last night. He has 24 major starts between now and the time he turns 50 years old. He has gone through stretches, again, back in the early 2000s, where he won 9 majors in in 24 starts. So I don't think he does that. But to think that if he can somehow stay healthy, and certainly he is in good physical shape, that he couldn't do between now and the time he turns 50, win 3 more, I think that's definitely realistic.
Yeah, so Rex, this is what I want to ask you. The impact of everyone playing early. You know, Moose and I were talking about this earlier as far as Sunday. It was so early in the morning. And, you know, I mean, you think this was bad for the game or bad for Masters, or because it finished so great, obviously, with him winning and a lot of folks loved it. I mean, some didn't, but most loved it. But talk about that, if you don't mind, the impact of everybody playing earlier than they used to playing.
I think it was the right call. I just happened to be standing kind of in the locker room as things were ending and a light rain started to fall, and there was a couple of Augusta National members standing around, and they were kind of talking about the decision. And it wasn't easy. This was unprecedented. They had never done this on a Sunday, and I think they struggled with it a little bit. And I think in a weird way, it actually kind of hurt Tiger because of the quick turnaround. And, you know, 43 years old, it takes some WD-40 to get the body moving. And he talked about having to get up at 3:45 in the morning to start his process of warming up. I'm sure that the ratings probably weren't as good as they normally would have been in the afternoon, but the alternative would be the storm comes, we have to have a Monday finish, and then they're even worse because people have to go to work, they have to go to school. So it was the right decision, and as far as competitively, I think the only guy that was at a disadvantage was the guy who won.
You think it, you know, and it's interesting. I threw this at Taz earlier, Rex. Want to get your thoughts. I kind of thought, you know, fair point about the early start time not helping Tiger. But the way that it was set up, you know, where it wasn't your traditional twosomes, you had threesomes going, it wasn't pairings. The fact that they were starting at both tees to try and get the round in. You know, don't you think that in essence, it helped Tiger a little bit because of the roars that he was able to generate, where it created this kind of ripple effect throughout the rest of the field?
You would have heard the roars regardless. I mean, if you look at the way the field panned out, I see what you're saying. So Francesco Molinari, who, of course, was leading going into the final round, he actually would have been paired with Tony Finau with the way they do the pairings in the last group. And
right.
Tiger would have been in the second to last group with Brooks Koepka. So maybe that would have maybe taken some pressure off Francesco. But the way it works out at Augusta, trust me, Francesco would have known exactly what Tiger was doing. I mean, you don't walk around that golf course and have, you know, with blinders on. I mean, the crowd lets you know what's happening. Every time he posts a number, there's gasp in the crowd. And so I think he still would have felt the pressure. Could have played out differently for him had he not had to stare at Tiger Woods. I mean, this is a guy that stared down Tiger Woods at the Open Championship. He was paired with him last year at Carnoustie. So I don't know if that really factored into this.
You listen to CBS Sports Radio. We're on the phone with our special guest, Rex Hoggard, a senior writer for golfchannel.com. Easy for me to say. Hey, so Rex, let me ask you. We were talking about greatest golf comebacks or just greatest sports comebacks, and Moose and I were talking. As great as this was by Woods, I mean, Ben Hogan in 1950, after coming back 16 months earlier, almost dying in a car crash where him and his wife were in a car and got hit by a Greyhound bus, and he was able to battle back in 1950 to win the U.S. Open. I mean, speak on that a little bit, how this is not even as great as this was by Woods, but, I mean, it's not the greatest comeback in golf, right or wrong.
It really isn't. And, again, this goes to, you know, we always seem to be prisoners of the moment in these situations and talk about it being the greatest comeback of all time. No, Tiger did not get hit by a bus like Ben Hogan. He did not go through what Ben did. I mean, there was obviously a lot of pain and a lot of issues that he dealt with. That being said, I don't think, and I don't know that we'll ever really know for sure, for certain, I don't think people understand how much pain and how difficult Tiger's life was before the surgery, before he turned this corner. I mean, you've kind of heard stories on the fringes about he couldn't even sit in a golf cart during the President's Cup a few years ago. He couldn't play with his kids. He couldn't get off the couch. There was pain. There was a quality of life that was really not something that I would wish upon anyone. And I think that kind of factors into once he got over that hump, once he was able to live a day-to-day life, forget about golf, I think that's when everything else came into focus for him. Because at this point 2 years ago, I just think he wanted to be able to go in his backyard and play, t-ball with his kids. And so once that sort of happened, then we was able to start focusing on golf. But no, I think if you're going to start comparing, obviously Ben Hogan would be the greatest comeback.
You know, Rex, there are obviously a lot of Tiger supporters, and there are still a lot of Tiger detractors. For everything we know about how he handled himself, the arrogance at times when he was at the top of his game, the way that he conducted himself. You know, for those that still look at Tiger Woods and say, you know, think he's kind of a fraud or not buying into this, you know, rebirth of Tiger and that he's a changed man, from your perspective, how different is Tiger now at 43 as compared to where Tiger was as a person 15 years ago?
The way he is in public is 100% different. Now, you know, we always heard stories about what he was actually like in private. Everyone talked about this great sense of humor. He was, a very engaging person. And we never really saw that through his prime. And part of that was this competitive, blind that he would put up, obviously. But we see it now. I mean, he engages with all these other players. He's become good friends with the Justin Thomases and the Ricky Fowlers of the golf world. He's more engaging with the media. He's more engaging with the fans. I saw him give more high fives yesterday than I had ever seen him give in his entire career. And even the celebration on the 18th green. I mean, if you go back, and it's kind of fascinating, and look at the other four Masters victories, there were such different looks on his face. 97, he almost looked a little dour, like he had something to prove. I think 2005, there was sort of this anger about him. Yesterday, it was just pure joy, and I think you can appreciate that.
Rex, so who do you think yesterday, Molinari, you look at Koepka, who had makeable putts on 17 and 18, he had a double as well on the back nine Sunday. You know, as we all celebrated Tiger Woods yesterday for the most part, and even a lot of his contemporaries on after the round was over were there to congratulate him. What round, which golfer do you think yesterday's final round is going to haunt the most?
I would say Molinari. And look, he has a major championship, and he's been playing phenomenal golf. But he made mistakes yesterday that Francesco Molinari just doesn't make. You know, you don't miss an 8-iron and put it in the creek on 12. You don't, 80-yard, really just a chip shot on 15, eclipse a tree because you didn't think it through. That was completely out of character for him. So I think it's going to take him some time.
Do you think a month from now, do you think he's right there at the PGA at Bethpage?
I think this is, we talked about could he keep winning majors. He's won a U.S. Open at Bethpage. He knows how to play that golf course. You would think that would – he would certainly be in the mix there. Pebble Beach, we all know what he did there back in 2000. So, yes, if you're going to make an argument that he could suddenly go on this tear and somehow catch Jack Nicklaus, it starts very, very quickly, 31 days until we should arrive at the PGA Championship. That's not really going to be a lot of time to exhale, but, yeah, I think he could definitely play well there.
Hey, Rex, we appreciate the time this morning. Thank you, and thanks for your perspective, and we'll chat again soon, all right?
Thanks, Rex.
Thanks, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.